I think we're on. Okay. Good morning, everyone. We're continuing with our contemporary COVID halacha series this morning and dealing with another Hanukkah question, much like last week where we also dealt with some Hanukkah material. We'll be doing another question today. Last week, we had dealt with the question of whether the way that Minyan is now configured allows us to do to light Hanukkah candles and shul at the same time we normally would. And it was a much more involved and somewhat detailed question. Today's topic is going to be a lot broader and a lot more fundamental, I think, to Hanukkah. We're going to be dealing with the question of whether a person in quarantine is able to light Hanukkah candles. With a bracha, without a bracha, we're going to be dealing with some of those questions. And the first thing to start with is, well, why would we think not to light Hanukkah candles if a person is in quarantine? Why, you know, we don't think of most mitzvot as things that depend on a person being out and about. So why are Hanukkah candles different? What would be the relevant factor?
Nobody's seeing it, except if there's a window in quarantine, someone will see it. So,
right. So nobody's seeing it. And right, it depends where a person is quarantining. I mean, we'll see in some of the presentations we're looking at, we're dealing with people who are in quarantine and say that they're in a room where nobody is able to see, or their windows all look out into, you know, courtyards or other places where people aren't. But yeah, to the extent that the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is about publicizing some kind of miracle, showing something off to the public, then the fact that we're not able to do so might mean that a person can't light Hanukkah candles under such circumstances. Excuse me. There are at least a couple of different ways that we can approach this topic of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle. We could think about it in terms of where we light, for example. If we light outside or we light by a window, that suggests that the mitzvah is public, outwardly facing, about publicizing a kind of miracle. Whereas the more we'll allow a person to light indoors, the less essential we're still going to see Pirsumei Nisa. Our entry into the topic is going to be through a different lens. It's going to be through the lens of when we light. And that will also, you know, end up touching on topics that relate to Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle, and how the timing affects that question. So we'll start with the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara tells us that with regard to the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles, mitzvata misha tishka hachama, the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is from when the sun sets, ada shetichla regel min hashuk, until passerby sort of stop walking around outside. People are no longer out and about. Okay, so that tells us the halacha. So when we're allowed to light Hanukkah candles. This line is a little bit, I wouldn't call it enigmatic, but ambiguous. Right? I could take this line to mean a few different things, and the different Rishonim on this Gemara interpret it in different ways that are going to have wide-reaching ramifications for how essential we see the idea of Pirsumei Nisa and Hanukkah candles. So on the one extreme, there are those who take this Gemara literally and exclusively. I mean, sorry?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So there are those who take this Gemara literally, exclusively, and as referring not to the duration of the mitzvah, but to the time frame of the mitzvah. What do I mean by that? So we'll take a look at the Rambam's formulation, for example. Ein madlikin nerot Chanukah kodem shetishka hachama, ela im shkiata, lo ma'achrin v'lo makdimin. We only light Chanukah candles at shkia, when the sun sets. We don't light before that, and we don't light after that. So it's a rigid time frame. And shachach I ohizid velo hidlik im shkiat hachama, madlik v'holech ad tichla regel min hashuk. And if for some reason you miss the moment of sunset, well, you could continue to light until people, passerby, stop walking around outside. And he says, v'kama hu zman zeh kmo chatzi shah o yeter. It's around half an hour or so. You know, he's a little bit ambiguous about it. It might be that for the Rambam, the length of time in which one could light Hanukkah candles is dependent on how many people are actually out and about and where they are and when. But something around half an hour per the Rambam's definition. And most importantly for us, avar zman zeh eino madlik. According to the Rambam, if you miss this window of time from shkia, from sunset until this around half an hour later or so, when passersby stop wandering around outside, then you've missed the time. So the Rambam reads this Gemara and he says, this refers to a time frame for the mitzvah. The time frame is from sunset to Techel Regal Min HaShuk. And it's exclusive, meaning this isn't the ideal time frame, it is the only time frame. And if you miss this opportunity, you can't light again. Now coming back to this Zman of Techel Regal Min HaShuk, we see what I would call a more extreme representation of the idea of Pirsumei Nisa, right? The idea of a mitzvah that goes until people stop wandering around outside is sort of an odd time. As far as I know, there aren't other halachot that are dependent in this way on passerby, on what people are doing around the neighborhood. It's a bit of an odd kind of time. And I think the simplest way to explain why that Zman exists is because the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles is about doing something, showing something to people who are outside, which is only relevant when people are outside. So you could only light after Shkia because it only makes sense to light lights as a sign of anything at night. That's how lights, you know, function. It doesn't make sense to have lights lit during the day. And that's why Ner Hanukkah is only a mitzvah at night and not during the day. And it goes until people stop walking around outside, because once people are no longer outside, you're no longer able to accomplish the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is about publicizing a miracle and there's no public anymore, then the mitzvah's lost. And if one was a true Rambamist, you'd probably have to say, or you might be limited in saying at least, that someone who's locked in quarantine, who's unable to publicize the miracle in a way that people will see it, might not be able to do the mitzvah. If we took that sort of extreme position of the Rambam, the way I just presented it. We don't necessarily have to take that interpretation within the Rambam. But more importantly, we also have several alternative readings of this Gemara that sort of set back a little bit from the extreme Pirsumei Nisa perspective. So for example, we have this position of Tosfot, or the Re, so cited in Tosfot, who says, really, this Gemara is not relevant at all anymore. Ulri nira, da'ata ein lachosh matay yadlik. We don't have to pay any attention to what time we light. Doesn't matter what time we light Hanukkah candles. Da'anu ein lanu hakera ela livnei habayit. Because the only sign of the miracle, the only indication of the Ner Hanukkah is relevant to the people inside the house, right? Nothing's outward-facing, everything's inward-facing. Shehare madlikin mibifnim. Because we light Hanukkah candles indoors. The original mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles involved lighting outdoors. But for various reasons, historically, without getting into the details, we ended up switching to lighting indoors. And so according to the minhag that Tosfot is describing, where people light indoors, and the only people who see the candles are those who are inside the house. So I don't care what people are doing outside in the streets. The time that people are wandering around is irrelevant to me, because whatever Pirsumei Nisa I'm accomplishing indoors. So if I'm not a Rambamist, but a re-theorist, and I accept his definition of the mitzvah, then I agree that the mitzvah is about Pirsumei Nisa. I agree that it's about publicizing the miracle, but it's not about publicizing the miracle in an outward-facing way, towards the window, towards the street, but rather about publicizing the miracle inwardly to other members of your household, and potentially, and we'll get to this a little bit later, potentially even to oneself. But we'll come back to that perspective in a little bit. So that would be one way of pushing back against the Rambam's extreme formulation, but one that fundamentally accepts the idea of Pirsumei Nisa as the core definition of the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah candles is about publicizing the miracle. The only question is, to whom? Other limitations that we might put on this Gemara, besides the Riz, we have the position of Rashba, who seems to fundamentally agree with how Rambam understands the Gemara, but he doesn't think that that's the base fundamental core of the mitzvah. The mitzvah isn't defined, according to Rashba, as publicizing the miracle. That's just the best way to do the mitzvah. He uses this language that if a person doesn't light Hanukkah candles during the right time, you could still light later. He cites a Gemara in Megillah, Kol shemitzvah toba laila kasher kol halayla. Any mitzvah that applies at night applies all night. Hanukkah candles is a night mitzvah, therefore it applies all night. You can really light Hanukkah candles throughout the evening, and even until, you know, almost the morning. And if you light after the Zman the Gemara defined from sunset to Tichla Regal Min Hashuk, Lo Asa HaMitzvah Kitikna. You haven't done the mitzvah perfectly in the way that it was, you know, originally defined. The Leka Pirsume Nisa Kulei Hai, because there isn't so much publicizing of the miracle. But you should still light. Just Elaka Usa Mitzvah Shalo Kitikna Legamre. You're doing the mitzvah. You're not doing the mitzvah perfectly. You're not accomplishing every aspect of the mitzvah. But you're doing the mitzvah. So for the Rashba, the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles isn't defined as a mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa. It's not that if you're not doing Pirsume Nisa, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Rather, Pirsume Nisa is one of the aspects of the mitzvah. It's great if you do it, and you should do it. But if you don't do it, there's still a mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles independently of that. So now I have at least one position I could point to and say, well, if someone's locked in quarantine in a place where nobody else will see their Hanukkah candles, okay, but still there's a mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. Right? It's not the mitzvah kitikna. It's not the perfect performance of the mitzvah, but it still counts as the performance of this mitzvah. I'll say one last interpretation. This is just the interpretation of the Rush, who totally reads the Gemara differently from how we had read it previously. We had, until now, been reading this phrase, Misha Tishka Hachama Ad Shetichla Regal Min Hashuk, as referring to the span of the mitzvah, meaning when should one do the mitzvah? During this period of time. The Rush reads it differently, and the Rush says, Ad Shetichla Regal Min Hashuk, Ad Kama, and after defining what, you know, going to the Gemara and citing what it says there, he then concludes, Kemo Chasi Sha'a, we'll ignore the latter phrase. But the Rush seems to see, and others also seem to see this phrase, not as referring to the time span in which one does the mitzvah, but in terms of the duration of the mitzvah. For how long one must one have Hanukkah candles burning? For about half an hour. And when one lights on, you know, Erev Shabbos, people add a little bit extra oil to make sure that they're burning after sunset or after the beginning of the Zman for about half of an hour. So if you read the Gemara as referring to that question, how long does the mitzvah last? Then it might not even be weighing in whatsoever on when one lights. And you may, again, be following, for example, the Rashba, say, really the mitzvah can last the entire evening, just, you know, without the Pirsume Nisa elements. So far what we've seen are, I guess, four possible reads or interpretations of this Gemara about the Zman of when one lights Hanukkah candles, with the major question that we're interested in being what they tell us about how essential the idea of publicizing the miracle and being seen by other people is to the definition of the mitzvah. The more essential it is to the definition of the mitzvah, the less likely it is that we'll ask someone in quarantine who can't fulfill that aspect of the mitzvah to perform the mitzvah. But the more we detach these ideas and say, there's a mitzvah of Hanukkah candles and also something called Pirsume Nisa, that's a nice value but not essential to the mitzvah, the more we'll have someone in quarantine do that. I'll pause now for comments or questions. Otherwise, we'll continue. Okay, so let's continue now and see how the Shulchan Aruch summarizes these halachot, mostly on the basis of the Rishonim that we've seen, and then we're going to get into some of the more contemporary presentations. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch presentation, he starts off by telling us, Shachach o hizid v'lo hidlik im shkiat hachama, if a person failed to light at the time of sunset, then madlik v'holich ad shetichla regal min hashuk, shehu kemo chatzi sha'a, you should light until the end of when people are walking around outside, very similar to the Rambam's presentation. She'az ha'am ovrim v'shavim v'ikah pirsume nisa. And he makes explicit that which the Rambam had sort of implicitly in his mind, that pirsume nisa is accomplished when you light during this time. However, mihu, we're going skipping over a few sentences. Hanimili lechachila. This is only the ideal mitzvah. Aval im avar zehazman v'lo hidlik, madlik v'holech kol halayla. But if you miss that opportunity, still, you should light over the course of the entire evening, which sounds, I think, very similar to the Rashba's presentation, right? The idea that it's a benefit, there's a value of Pirsume Nisa, but the mitzvah still exists independent of that Pirsume Nisa. That was the Shulchan Aruch, I guess, following in the path of the Rashba's interpretation, which was also adopted by the Tour. Yeah.
Just rereading the first line. How does the Chatzishah fit into that? I mean, you glossed over it when you translated it. Mm-hmm. The first line when you're reading it, the first line of the Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah, so I think what the Shulchan Aruch is doing on the basis of the Rambam is saying that the half an hour is the time at which people stop walking around outside, meaning the sun sets, and then you have about half an hour during which people are still likely to be out and about, after which point that will no longer be the case. Now, you're right that the Shulchan Aruch almost does double duty with that phrase, half an hour, right? First, he uses half an hour to define when the sort of end of the ideal span of the mitzvah is, around half an hour after Tishka Chama. And then he also says, and a line I did skip over, Hilkach tzarech litin b'shemen kishzeh hashir. He also says you need to have the candles lit for about half an hour. So it seems to be doing double duty for him, both to define the span of time and also the duration of the mitzvah. So it is an interesting thing to note, right? If a person lights at the very moment, 2 minutes before Tichla Regal Min Hashuk, it seems like he'll still want to have enough oil to last long past that. Yeah, you're right for pointing that out. Okay, so this is the Shulchan Aruch's presentation. The Rama, in representing Ashkenazi practice, follows in the footsteps of the Ri, who said that Bizman Hazeh, nowadays that we light indoors, Ein tzarach lizaher ulahadlik kodem shetichla regal min hashuk. You don't need to really worry about lighting at a certain time, right after sunset, because we're really lighting for our own people indoors and not in this outward-facing kind of way. Even though mikol makom tov lizaher gam bezman hazeh, it's better if you could do it that way. We should be, makbid for that if we can, possibly to account for the other positions in the Rishonim who disagree with that statement. But fundamentally, we don't need to worry about that. And that provides a good enough survey of the background in the Gemara, the Rishonim, and the Achronim of this halacha. So it seems from where we are now that the question of whether someone in quarantine would have to light or would be able to light, rather, might depend on how we paskin in this machloket between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. Following the Shulchan Aruch, we've decoupled the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah from the idea of Pirsumei Nisa. So you could do the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, even if you missed the time in which Pirsumei Nisa would happen. However, if we were to follow the Rama, it would be a little bit more challenging, because for the Rama, the idea of Ner Hanukkah is about Pirsumei Nisa, just for your B'nai Bayit, for people who live inside your house. Maybe if nobody's living inside your house but you, you're unable to fulfill that aspect of the mitzvah. So it might be that according to the Rama, someone in quarantine wouldn't need to or wouldn't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah. So that's where we are now. What we just did together constitutes the beginning of the presentation of Rav Rimon that we'll see in a little bit. He begins by introducing the halacha, mitzvata misha tishka achama acha tichla rega min ashok. He cites a number of the interpretations that we had seen together, the Rambam, and then a few other interpretations that we cited more fully inside. He sort of summarizes more broadly outside. And then cites the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, and applies it to our case of quarantine. What Rav Rimon next does is raises a few caveats that appear in later sources in the Achronim that will seem to justify lighting candles, even according to the Rama, meaning even if in the manner in which we're going to try to decouple the two mitzvot, even for the Rama's interpretation. So let's see how he does that. Some of the later sources that Rav Rimon deals with are this Mishnah Berurah and also this very interesting passage from Rav Kook, which we'll see in a moment. The Mishnah Berurah, in commenting on the Shulchan Aruch had said that if you miss the mitzvah during the ideal time, madlik veholech kol halayla, you should still light over the course of the entire evening. And the Mishnah Berurah starts by qualifying that. Ad amud hashachar. Uve bracha. You light until the morning, and you would even light with a bracha. If I get home at 4 o'clock in the morning, from whatever I'm doing out until 4 o'clock in the morning, I would be lighting Hanukkah candles with a bracha, according to this. However, the Mishnah Berurah adds a relatively significant caveat that we have not yet seen. V'hainu davka im b'nei habayit ne'urim. That only applies if the members of your household are themselves awake. Aval im yeshenim ein levarech aleihem. But if they're all sleeping, you should not light Hanukkah candles, or rather, you should not make a bracha on Hanukkah candles. Elegadlik below bracha. Rather, you should just light the candles without the bracha. It seems to me that this is based on the idea of presuming Nisa, right? If there's no one in your house to whom you could publicize the miracle, then it doesn't make sense to light candles with a bracha, because the idea of lighting candles is about publicizing the miracle to others. Now, the practical advice the Mishnah Berurah offers is itself interesting. Ve'im balebeto kodem alot hashachar, if you arrive before dawn back to your home, umatza b'nei bayit yeshenim, and you see that your family is sleeping, so there's no one to see the candles, min hanachon sheyakitzeim kedei sheyuchal lahalik b'bracha. You should wake them up so that they should see the candles and be able to light with a bracha. So
the Mishnah Berurah takes not good for the health of a marriage, but okay.
I'm not sure the Mishnah Berurah is recommending this as an ideal that one should do every night, but under certain circumstances, it seems he would say so. So yeah, it's the Mishnah Berurah takes the idea of Pirsumei Nisa to your family seriously enough that if your family is not awake, you're not doing Pirsumei Nisa to them. We have the same problem. You haven't really fulfilled the mitzvah. I might even wonder why the Mishnah Berurah raises the idea of lighting without a bracha. It might just be to account for these different positions, meaning really we assume that the mitzvah is to light with to light in a manner of presuming Nisa, but we're not sure about that. So it's possible that we need to light without a bracha just to account for the other positions that would disagree. But that seems to be his fundamental take.
If you're lighting like over a Zoom type thing, is that considered presuming Nisa?
Excellent, fantastic question, which I'm really glad you brought up. So I prepared today's shiur on the basis of Reverend Milne's presentation. And then I saw that Rav Asher Weiss, who's one of the other poskim we've been seeing a lot, deals with exactly your question. So at the end, we're going to come back to his presentation and see how the Zoom factor fits in for him, right? Meaning, is Zoom Hanukkah candles like, let's say, Zoom a minion, where the idea of doing a Zoom minion doesn't seem to have taken hold with any poskim that I'm aware of? Or is it, informal, meaning the idea of having the formal minion isn't, or the formal presuming Nisa is less relevant, and the idea is publicizing the Nais in whatever way is relevant. So we're going to come back to that. I'm really glad you brought that up. Before we get there, I'd want to see this. I only enjoyed this because of the way it presents the material. It's not a different halacha, but this is from Rav Kook, who is generally known as a Jewish philosopher, but also was a posik in his own right, has a number of important tshuvot of his own. And in one of his philosophical writings, he actually has a poem in which he just summarizes Hilchot Hanukkah for us. Obviously, we could read his poem and see, well, what halachot does he actually think are binding? So the way he presents this question is, what do you do when lighting Hanukkah candles late? He says, "Ach le'et zot li'akov et sara." Nowadays, because of the et sara, nowadays meaning in his days, not the et sara of our own days, but the et sara that caused us to start lighting indoors, asher rak bevatenu yitader b'mitzvah hayikara, because the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles now happens in our houses, and that's where the hidur mitzvah of Hanukkah candles takes place. Az zman ha'mitzvah nitacher, the zman of the mitzvah is now no longer until tichla regal min hashuk. Adopting, it seems, something like the position of Tosfot, right? Nowadays, because the reality has changed and we're no longer being mefarsim the nays outwardly, so now the zman of the mitzvah goes much later, because as long as someone's in our house, we're able to do presuming Nisa for them. And he adds that caveat explicitly, im b'chol beito od gluye einayim, if in your household there are still those who are awake, whose eyes are revealed, they're still able to see the miracle. And the bonds of sleep have yet to bind their eyelids. So it's just a poetic representation of the same halacha from the Mishnah Berurah, that when you're lighting indoors in your house, you still have to have someone in your house awake to see the miracle and to see the lights for the presuming Nisa. But I enjoyed seeing it in poetic form, so I figured I would share it with you all in this form as well. So this Mishabura takes what we've called until this point a strong Pursumanisa stance, where Pursumanisa is definitional to the mitzvah. And you can't light if there's no one awake, so you may have to wake them up. Rav Kook actually does not say you should wake them up, but he'd probably say that if they're not awake, you can't light. So he may recommend waking them up as well, and just didn't choose to put that in poetic form in this context. Okay, so that's one limitation. There is, however, another position that the Mishabura himself cites in their footnotes to the Mishabura that are called the Shar HaTziyun, where the Mishabura cites either the sources for some of his comments or alternative views. And this is one of them. He cites the position of the Chamed Moshe. Sefer Chamed Moshe, Ha'erich Bazeh, V'da'ato, the Chamed Moshe believes, V'im Shachach Onanas, V'lo Hidlik, Ad She Yeshno Kulam, if you didn't light until everyone in your household is asleep, then Yakitz Bet Ogim Omehem V'yadlik, you have to wake up two or three of them and light the candles. Here, by the way, we see that it's not only waking up one of them, you have to wake up a couple of the family. So not only would it be a challenge on one's marriage, but maybe also one's relations with one's children. But he admits, v'im i'efshar lachitzam, if you're unable to wake them up for whatever reason, possibly shalom bias is one of the concerns, then mikol makom yadlik v'yavarech, you should still light with a bracha. Right? The Mishnah Brura had said that we wouldn't do so, but the Chamed Moshe believes you would light with a bracha. And he proves that from the fact that a position of another Rishon, da'af im hu ben hanachrim, even if a person is living in, the only Jew in the neighborhood, so you're not publicizing the miracle to any other Jews. In parentheses, we can note that he assumes that Pursumei Nisa is about publicizing it to other Jews, which generally seems to fit the model of how we think about publicizing miracles or what counts as the public for Kiddush Hashem purposes and other things. It's not an obvious point, and the Rav certainly thinks there's some notion of being mefarsim the miracle of Hanukkah also to those who aren't Jewish, but he assumes that it's only to those who are Jewish. But if you have to light, even when there are no other Jews around to see the menorah, then certainly the idea of presuming Nisa can't be definitional to the mitzvah, because you're obligated to fulfill this even when there aren't those who are going to be able to see it. And so too, if you light at 2 a.m. when everyone's asleep, the same halacha should apply. No one will be able to see it, but that's fine. You should still light and make the bracha in this way. And the Mishnah Brura, I don't think, doesn't love this idea. He says, after finishing the citation, he says, Safek brachot lahakel. If we're not sure if we should make a bracha or not, we should not make a bracha. That's the usual rule in halacha. But umikol makom, misha rotza linho kavate ein mochen biada. But we can't object to anyone who wants to follow this position of the Chamed Moshe to light at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, when nobody is awake with a bracha nonetheless. It's not his preferred position, but it's a legitimate position in his eyes. And if it being legitimate in the eyes of the Mishnah Brura was insufficient, we could also look at the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein deals almost explicitly with this conceptual question that we've been dealing with. Is Pursumei Nisa an integral part of the definition of the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles to the point where its absence undermines the mitzvah itself? Or is it just a nice additional benefit? And he explicitly says, "Hine le'anir da'ati, in my opinion, mistaber b'pshitut digam ner Chanukah ein ha'persuma nisa ikov le'etzem chiyuv hadlakat nerot." The idea of persuma nisa is not ma'akev the rest of hadlakat nerot. It doesn't become definitional to the mitzvah to the point where its absence undercuts the mitzvah. Lomar debaleka inyan persuma nisa shu nimtza b'makom shaleka inche yifter legamrei. Right? We don't say that if you are in a place where there are no other people that you would not light, but just because there's no Pursumei Nisa. And he draws a nice analogy to another mitzvah in which there's Pursumei Nisa, the mitzvah of Megillah. The Maishnami Megillah, the Tzarech Likro, Af Kishihu Yachid Bebeto. Right? If a person can't go hear the Megillah for some reason, as was the case for many this year as well, it's obvious that you're supposed to read the Megillah in your own house for yourself. There's no Pursumei Nisa. Fine. There are mitzvot where Pursumei Nisa is one of the values of the mitzvah and one of the purposes of the mitzvah. But in the absence of Pursumei Nisa, you still fulfill the mitzvah on your own. So you'll read Megillah on your own, even in the absence of others to hear it. And you'll light Hanukkah candles on your own, even in the absence of other people to see them. So what we had seen before as a machloket in the Rishonim, a conceptual machloket in the Rishonim, between the Rambam, who seemed to think that Pursumei Nisa is integral to the definition of the mitzvah, and some of the other Rishonim, like the Rashba, who thought otherwise, has now also become a machloket in the Achronim between the Mishnah Brura, who thinks that you need some of your family to see the Hanukkah candles in order to be able to light, and the Chamed Moshe, and maybe Rav Moshe Feinstein, who, again, decouples these two ideas, one from the other. Okay. Any questions on this as background? Otherwise, we'll take a look at Rav Rimon, and then we'll close with the Zoom factor that Rav Usher Weiss introduces. Okay. So let's take a look at Rav Rimon's presentation. The first thing I'll point out is just, you know, compared to many other Tshuvot that we see and have seen together, Rav Rimon is known, among other things, for being able to present material in a visually very appealing and clear way. And I think that holds true here as well. Just looking at the sheet, it's, you know, quite aesthetically pleasing. It's colorful. It's organized very nicely with little, you know, headings for different sections of the presentation. At the end of this, he has a sort of summary of Hilchot, the winter during Corona, in Davening and Hanukkah, et cetera. And they're all generally very aesthetically pleasing and laid out very nicely. But after, you know, admiring his artistic talent, let's see if we could appreciate some of his halachic presentation. So after summarizing everything that we've seen, he raises one or two other factors that we have yet to see, you know, explicitly attested in sources. He raises a svara that he attributes to the Chamed Moshe as well. Yish lehosif al kach sheyitachen shepirsum hanez hu gam ba'avur atzmo. It might be that Pirsum HaNeza isn't only outwardly facing to the public, or even inwardly facing to other members of your household, but even to yourself. So when you light Hanukkah candles, you are publicizing to yourself the mitzvah of Hanukkah and the miracle of Hanukkah. So he thinks that's what the Chamed Moshe meant when he said that you're supposed to light even in the absence of other people. It's not that the Chamed Moshe doesn't believe that you need Pirsum HaNeza. He just thinks that Pirsum HaNeza is even accomplished for oneself as an individual, which is an interesting kind of svara, which he also attributes to a few more contemporary poskim. And that would also allow someone in quarantine a little bit more flexibility. He also raises the possibility that we won't get into because it involves too much background in the Gemara again. But the idea that when one lights during the appropriate time, meaning from Shkia to Tichla Regal Mihashuk, that, you know, 30-minute span or so in the early evening, that it wouldn't matter if anyone's able to see it. Meaning the idea of Pirsum HaNeza becomes more relevant after people leave the marketplace. But if you are lighting during the right time, then we're less concerned about ensuring that other people see it. It's kind of an interesting svara. And it might, you know, be clear in the Gemara, but we're not going to dig into that at this moment. So now to his practical advice, his halacha lemaaseh section. Based on everything we've seen, misha nimtza bevidud becheder lelo chalon lerushut harabim, if a person is in quarantine in a room without a publicly facing window, yachol lahadlik nerot bebracha, you could still light Hanukkah candles with a bracha. Gam im af echad milvado lo yirat hanerot, even if nobody else will see the nerot, bein im humadlik bizman, ubein im humadlik meuchar. No matter when you light. He says, basically, seems poskin by the most expansive position that says that Pirsum HaNeza is totally separate from the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. You could light all night, you could light on your own, you could light when nobody else can see you. He says, of course, it's better, lechalchila tov shiadlik bizman, it's better to be able to light at the right time. And kamuvan yesh la ha'adif lasim et hanerot b'chalon over makom shebnei habayit yiru et hanerot. And it's better to be able to place it in a window or somewhere else in your house where other people will be able to see it. But those things aren't necessary. And you can still light without a bracha, with a bracha, even in the absence of these factors. In the realm of other practical advice, he suggests maybe someone else in your household can light on your behalf and thereby fulfill the mitzvah for you. Or if you're in quarantine in a big enough house, maybe you could have everyone leave the, you know, main room. You could leave your quarantine room, light candles, and then go back into quarantine and let everyone else come back into the main room where Hanukkah candles are lit. So you get some practical advice as well in that regard. But again, none of that is necessary. It's not necessary to bend over backwards to make that happen because you can still light candles with a bracha regardless. As many Tshuvot that we've seen together have pointed out, Rav Rimon ends with this, I wouldn't call it Agadic piece, but he ends with some combination of chizuk and sort of, you know, encouragement. Chizuk. Yeah, I double down on that term, I suppose. When we light near Hanukkah, kasher nachnu madlikim near Hanukkah, tzrichim anu lachshov kitzad mi'irim gam lacher. You have to think about how to illuminate for others as well. Tzrichim tamid liskor. Gam mi shenimtza bevidud lo nimtza levad. Even someone who is in isolation, in quarantine, is not themselves alone. Kamuvan shehashem nimtza ito. Of course, God is with him. And ulam mitzvah gdola lachshov ulizkor et hanimtzaim bevidud. O anashim acherim hanimtzaim levad. But we also, as a community, have to also keep in mind those who are alone, those who are in lockdown or in isolation. Litkasher alehem, to get in contact with them. Lesameach otam, to bring them joy. And lizakot yachtav b'or hanifla habokeya minerot hachanukah. And to together merit the wondrous light that derives from the Hanukkah candles. I always find these little pieces at the end that aren't, you know, halakhically significant, but they really do provide support and show that Rav Rimon is thinking a little bit more broadly than the sort of technical halakha in issuing his rulings. Just in the interest of time, I want to see this passage from Rav Asher Weiss together, where he deals with this question, just to see how he phrases it. Pirsume Nisa b'chanuka al yedei emtza'iim technologiim. Doing Pirsume Nisa with technological means. So he summarizes much of the same presentation as we've seen together. One thing he does for us that we have not yet seen is he gives a strong articulation of what the mitzvah of Hanukkah is about, if not Pirsume Nisa, right? If we believe in this decoupling of Pirsume Nisa from the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, so what is the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah about? And it's something that Rav Asher calls Zecher L'Nes. It's not about publicizing the miracle, but it's about acknowledging the miracle or having some kind of remembrance of the miracle. So those kinds of things don't need to be public per se, and there's still a value in giving what he calls Kedela so Zecher L'Nes, Kedela Hodu to the Halel, to give praise and thanksgiving to God for this miracle. And that doesn't have to be public. That could be something that an individual does privately. So that articulation I find very helpful, right? If it's not Pirsume Nisa, it still accomplishes something religiously. And then he reaches the end of this presentation. So he's, after summarizing the whole sugya, much in the way that we did, Umishum kolze, I bididi talya, if it was up to me, nira diyesh levarech af beino levein atzmo. I would say that you should light individually and privately. Ubifrat kasher hu madlik be'ikar zman ha-hadlaka, especially if you're lighting during the essential time, right, in accordance with the argument we saw at the very end from Rav Rimon, that maybe if you light during the time of the mitzvah, it doesn't matter if people see it, according to a wider expanse of opinions. However, ach mistafina lifsok kechamen Moshe. I, Rav Asher Weiss, am uncomfortable paskening like the Chemed Moshe, who says that you're allowed to light Hanukkah candles even when no one else will see it. Ushalo kedivrei hamagen Avraham, v'achai Adam, v'ha mishabura, all the other achronim who seem to reject this position. But, ach, im achirim yiru et ha-hadlaka be'emtsayim technologiim, if others will see the Hanukkah candles through technological tools, then, af zeh, this would be another reason that we could add to our list of reasons that one should light with the bracha, which is interesting, and he justifies it himself. Everything that requires a minyan, that requires a public tzibur, because it's a davar shebekdusha, because of the sanctification of God's name in that way, Pasha she'ef sarlet sarif asara al yedei zoom v'shar emtzei technologia. We're not able to use technological means to create a minion in that way for a devar shebekdusha, for those kinds of more formal ideas. Aval bebirkat hagomel, for things like birkat hagoma, for example, where you're, you know, publicly thanking God for your salvation from whatever it is. And there's a discussion that we may get to another week about whether one says birkat hagomel for having recovered from corona. Delo havi davar shebekdusha. It's not about davar shebekdusha. Rather, ela shetzara chasara kedei lekayim v'yiromemu bekal am, the idea of praising God or elevating God in a, you know, among the nation, that doesn't require a formal tzibur of 10. It just requires that it be known to the tzibur. So efshar demahane af kishu mevarech va'asarim mitzarfim imo derech emtsayim technologiim. So therefore, it might, if I make the bracha on Hanukkah candles and people are watching on Zoom and thereby God's name is being elevated in a public way, that might count as pursuing Nisa. You're still being mefarsim the nes, regardless of how exactly you're doing so. And so this is one of the areas where Zoom has become more, you know, more significant. We had seen, I think, in our first week, the idea of having 10 people for a wedding, for the various brachot there. And you know, that was a discussion we saw there. Is it a davar shebikdusha, such that the 10 people need to be present in order to accomplish the wedding, or is it some broader kind of praise of God or thanksgiving that is happening with that 10? And this would be another example of that phenomenon, where Zoom actually does accomplish a great deal for us. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording now, but just to summarize,